Wakey, eggs and bakey. Welcome back to PM in the AM, a comedy podcast for listeners of all ages. The show that contains the kind of humor to make you laugh out loud no matter where you're listening. Join us each week as we take a deep dive into some of the funniest topics found on the internet. My name is Porter McNeely. I am joined by co-host Blake Bushman. Blake, how are you doing this week?
I'm fantastic, man. I'm hoping that everybody else hears what I heard during the intro, which was nothing. It cut out. I didn't.
Oh, serious? I thought I could, you know, pull off the ambulance. In all honesty, not my best work. I was a little disappointed. I didn't plan and prepare this week like I normally would. And it really showed right there, and it, lack of effort, a little bit embarrassing on my part. So you'll have a promise from me as a listener that I will do better next time. I will come up with a better way to start the show off. With that said, I am really excited for what we have coming up today, Blake. I think it's going to be a great show. We've got a bracket that we're doing this week where we are going to be doing the worst animals to possibly have as a pet. Which, you know, after last week, we got into animals a little bit more than we usually would. And I think it's going to be a great time. What do you think?
Yeah, I'm excited. I'm interested to see which direction you take it, because I feel like there's a lot of different ways we can go. I kind of didn't settle on regular pets, but just things that I think would be awful. So I'll give you that sneak peek, and I can't wait to get into it.
Yeah, I mean, we're definitely going to have to use our imagination on some, because hopefully nobody has ever had them as pets, but, you know, probably along the way somebody has, and I think it probably turned out pretty bad for them. But before we do get into that, we have some listener-submitted questions that we're going to be answering in this first segment. That's going to be great. Before we even do that, Blake, I believe we have another Morning Crew review.
We do. We need to get a little drop for this, because people are leaving reviews left and right for us, so it's going to have to become a weekly thing here. So feel free to go to Apple Podcasts, leave a review, or send us a DM with your review. And if it's nice, we'll read it on the air. If not, we'll just pretend like it never happened. This one comes in from OzDog12, 5 stars, relatable, super rad dudes with super relatable topics, the perfect hangout pod.
If I was a superhero, I think my superhero name would be Super Rad Dude. That's, I mean...
No, I thought you were going to say super relatable dude. And I was like, that's a stupid name.
Mr. Relatable. His superpower is that in any conversation, he can get along without causing a problem. Mr. Relatable.
Oh, you've been there? So have I. Oh, you've been there? So have I. No, that sounds awful, honestly. No, super rad dude. I just picture a guy, you know, on the beach in Hawaii with the sunglasses, of course. But he also just lives on the beach in Hawaii and has a surfboard and lives out of a van. I mean, I think that's
not like a pretty sweet
life. Is that your definition of rad? Is it just like a homeless guy?
Yeah. What do you think of when you think of the word rad? I don't think, maybe a skateboarder, but skateboarder or surfer, the only ones.
Well, I mean, either way, they're going to have long flowing hair in the wind. It's important that it's really windy. So that's step one. Be windy and have long hair. And then they're going to have sunglasses and like a nice Hawaiian shirt, but unbuttoned. Just bare-chested, free-flowing in the wind. That sounds like a rad dude.
What I love about your rad definition there is how you first decided to make fun of mine. You're like, is that really?
Exact same.
Really? Yeah. You just repeated the thing that I said.
Your definition was he lives in a van. That's totally different. My guy has a house. He has a 401k. Nothing's more rad than financial security, all right?
I did not see that one coming. No. Okay. So I guess I appreciate the fact that you went back and redid your definition of what is actually rad. So, I mean, yeah, my guy also had a remote job. I want to throw that in there. He had financial stability, but he also just, you know, was living his life happily in a van. But, you know, I guess we are two rad dudes. We are two relatable dudes, and we definitely appreciate that review. And like Blake said, make sure you guys go and give us a review. Make sure you're following us on Instagram at PM in the AM Podcast and on YouTube at PM in the AM Podcast. We've had a little bit of a subscriber spike over the last couple of days, and that may or may not be because I found out my wife has 4 email addresses that were not subscribed to us.
We have 4 new subscribers, so it's been a huge hit.
I'll be honest. I'll tell the truth on this podcast. I always have. We are getting into some great listener-submitted questions, and these came from the link in our Instagram bio has a form where you can actually go in and send us questions, and these were sent in anonymously. So, Blake, first thing we are going to be discussing on today's show which I think this is really important, is do you believe in the 5-second rule?
I need to get some clarification on what believing in the 5-second rule is.
Okay, do you practice the 5-second rule?
Okay, I'll let me explain. I believe in, if this is the verbiage that we're using, I believe in the as fast as I can get to it rule. I mean, I'm not like, if it's 6 seconds, I'm not eating it, whereas if it was 4, I would eat it. It's as long as it takes me to bend down and pick it up, I'll eat it. Now, I'm not walking away, you know, going taking a nap, then coming back and eating food off the floor.
Okay.
That's where, if it's not, you know, immediate, like I saw it fall, I pick it up and then I'm good. But I also don't think that the germs are sitting there waiting. 1, 2, 3, 4. And then at 5 seconds, they can just jump on your food. I don't think that's how it works. I'm no doctor, but I'm going to go ahead and assume that germs don't know how to count. So 5-second rule, no, but eating food off the floor, sure.
Gets the Blake Bushman seal of approval. And, you know, I have to say, I think we're pretty similar on this one with the fact that, are there just like germs waiting on the floor? Like, as soon as it touches the floor, is it really that much more dirty than if it touched your, let's say, countertop where you've, you know, had numerous raw things on it over time? You've put your hands on there and your hands have touched a lot of, you know, gross things in public places. Is it really that much worse to eat it off the floor?
I think it really comes down to where it fell. If I'm like in my own kitchen, you know, I know how often we clean the floors and how often we wipe stuff down, or if I'm in my living room, like my own home or even like my work, I have a pretty good idea of how clean things are and I don't care. Now, if I'm eating something in like a public bathroom, I'm not going to pick that up and eat it. That's just not going to happen. So public bathroom is the 0-second rule. As soon as it's no longer in my mouth, it won't go back into my mouth. I think it really just depends on what floor we're talking about here, because I feel like the 5-second rule has kind of, you know, overtaken the whole thing, but there really needs to be some tiers to this.
Do you really eat in public bathrooms? I think that's a real thing we want to know. Is that something that you do? I have never seen anybody eating in one, and I cannot remember personally ever eating food in a public bathroom.
I mean, I don't go there for lunch. I'm not like, oh, it's lunchtime, better go eat in the bathroom. Like, that's not what it is. But there's definitely been times where if I'm currently eating something and, you know, the old tummy rumbles hit or something, I'm not like, I don't have a place to set it down. I'll take it in there with me and just finish snacking on. And I don't think that, I mean, there probably is contaminants in the air, but the air has a 5-second rule. So I got 5 seconds from when I walk into the bathroom to finish in my food before it's a problem.
No, that's absolutely disgusting. I can't even imagine, especially, I mean, maybe if I was like in the comfort of my own home and I was like starving, I would, you know, be more comfortable eating something where I'm not going to drop it on the floor. Like you say, if you drop it on the floor in any bathroom, it's chalked. Get rid of it. Don't you dare eat that. But a public bathroom, that just seems like such a terrible experience. Like, I think you could just wait to eat. There's no reason that you'd be eating.
Yeah, but what if you're already eating and then you have to go? Like, you're on a road trip by yourself. You're eating
you're not going to be able to make a story here.
You're eating some trail mix, all right? You're in the gas station. You don't have a place to, like, set that down when you go into the bathroom. You're not leaving it outside the door. You're by yourself. I promise you, you're taking that trail mix in with you.
You know what I want to see is, I mean, a snack like that, you know, you might just like dump it down the hatch and forget about it. If you drop an M&M on the floor, obviously you're not going to touch it. You know what I want to see happen is you find a extremely busy public restroom, one where there's always a long line. And then what needs to happen is you need to go in there and somehow conceal, you know, 3 Tupperwares of food and a little tray table to use as like a desk. And then as you have your pants on your ankles, have the, you know, the little desk laid out, have a full meal going, and leave the stall unlocked. So everybody that's, you know, needing to go to the bathroom just slams the door open, and there Blake is having a candlelit dinner in a public restroom.
It's just me chowing down on a rotisserie chicken while on the pot.
That would be one of those things you just can't ever unsee.
Yeah.
That would be life-changing.
Let me clarify something. I'm not taking a full meal into the bathroom eating it. This was handheld snacks that I was talking about. That is totally different, because I'm pretty sure that when you flush the toilet Have you seen this where like you flush the toilet and stuff comes out of it if you don't have the lid closed?
Oh, I don't know what you're talking
about. I'm like 99% sure they've done studies where like if the lid isn't closed when you flush the toilet, there's things in the toilet that basically like it's basically just like water spray that like sprays out in like a thing. So if you put like Saran wrap over your toilet and then flush it, you'll see like water marks come up on there. And ever since I found that out, I am terrified too. So I will in a public bathroom, but I will not flush while eating because that seems way worse.
That's traumatic. But all right, so I think you know that is as far as we want to go into bathrooms in the 5 second rule. Obviously, we said that's a no go. But I want to bring in another aspect that I think has been you know pretty important in my life. You know, when I got married and my wife had a dog, I learned there's different levels to the 5 second rule. And if you are in a pet household and you practice the 5 second rule, that is a lot more disgusting. Because let me tell you, it takes like 0.5 seconds of that thing touching the floor for it to instantly gather 45 dog hairs on the single chip. And as you lift that thing up, you there's the 5 second rule is done. You're just done with that. You're like, nope. This is absolutely disgusting. I can't possibly eat this. And you just throw it away every time.
Yeah, the good thing about having a dog with the 5 second rule is that when you have a dog, you don't need the 5 second rule because you just, you point your toe at whatever it is that dropped on the floor. And that is dog sign language for free food. It doesn't matter what you dropped. Here's the thing with the 5 second rule is it's really not because I'm that hungry where I need to eat like that one little bit that fell on the floor. It's that I'm going to have to clean it up. And since I already picked it up, I might as well eat it. But when I have a dog, I don't have to pick it up or eat it because they'll do the cleaning for me. So I think that is, you know, let them eat their dog hairs.
Ooh, and they do, trust me. That's a good point as well. You got somebody to help you. If they let it get to the max 5 seconds, so there's something wrong with your dog. Because as soon as it hits the floor in our household, that thing's gone. I think we analyzed that situation pretty well, came up with some things that I definitely wasn't even anticipating, especially on your end. But
yeah, let's the rotisserie chicken bathroom is a classic.
Is a nightmare. All right, let's move along to our next question here. It's a little bit of a thought provoker, and it says, would you rather never have chocolate again or never have cheese? So are you a sweet or savory kind of guy?
I'm trying to think of which one I eat more, and I'm not entirely sure because I don't really have a preference sweet over savory. It just kind of depends on the mood. And the answer in reality is both. I am a both kind of man. So which one I eat more, though? Probably cheese, right?
I think that for me, it's definitely cheese.
Yeah, I mean, here's the thing. I feel like there's a lot of things that without cheese, I mean, they're still okay, but without chocolate, they just don't exist. So
that's fair.
That's the other side. Like, you know, if I'm making eggs, I'm throwing cheese on there. If I'm making a burger, I'm throwing cheese on there. But I'll still eat eggs and a burger without cheese. But Reese's is basically just a little ball of peanut butter, which actually kind of sounds delicious. I'm keeping the cheese.
I think I was going to take the same one because honestly, like, get rid of chocolate, you probably, you know, you're going to have to suffer at first. It's going to be like a diet. When you get on it, it's going to be hard for the first little while. But eventually, you're probably going to be better off because of it, right? Cheese is not necessarily super healthy, but at least it has some protein in it, from what I've been told.
Does cheese have protein? I have no idea.
It's dairy.
Dairy has protein now?
Yeah. That's what they say, like milk, cheese, yogurt, strong bones.
Yeah, Greek yogurt. I don't know if regular yogurt has it. Anyways, I'll probably settle with cheese, though. I just feel like you eat it more often, and probably I could go without eating chocolate, you know? I don't actively seek out chocolate that often, so if it just disappeared forever, like it wasn't ever in front of me and I never really had to think about it, I probably would be okay.
Yeah, no, I totally see your point of view on that one, and I'm kind of the same way. I do think, you know, have you ever ordered, like, let's say you're at a burger place that you haven't been to before, and you order a burger off of their pre-selected menu, and it comes without cheese? And you didn't even realize?
Yeah, that sounds like a nightmare. Whenever have you ever been to like a backdoor barbecue? I don't know why I called it that. A backyard barbecue with, you know, family, and they got burgers on the grill. And then they always ask, who wants cheese on their burger? What kind of psychopath? Like, I don't even care. If I'm lactose intolerant and it's going to make me spend the next 3.5 business days in the bathroom, I'm getting cheese on that burger. It doesn't... What Why do they even ask that question? That should be a default. Everybody gets cheese.
They should change the question to what kind of cheese do you want on your burger? Because from there, you've got a variety of delicious options. But I always think the same thing. When somebody just wants a giant ground beef patty with no cheese on top, I just don't understand it at all. It's crazy.
We need to have them a psychoanalysis done on them to see what is going wrong. And that does pose the question, Porter. What kind of cheese are you getting on the burger?
Ooh, that's more difficult. You see, to me, it all kind of just depends on the mood. I could go for some pepper jack cheese or some cheddar or even American cheese. I think American cheese is on a lot of burgers, right?
To be honest, I have no idea what American cheese is. Here's the thing with cheese. To me, if it is yellow cheese, it is cheddar. If it is white, it is provolone.
What about mozzarella?
That's all provolone. If it has holes in it, that's Swiss, obviously. No cheese has holes. And then if it has little bits of, flakes of pepper in there, that's pepper jack. Those are the families of cheeses. Anything else is just a lie that they do to sell more cheese.
What if it's in a can?
Well, it depends what color it is.
I've never seen anything other than yellow canned cheese.
Okay, then it's cheddar.
Is spray cheese cheddar?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay. I had no idea. I mean, I haven't had that stuff in years, but I imagine putting that on a burger. That would be
pretty good.
I think that'd be a crime. That's disgusting. You just have your burger out and just put a little on top.
It would be a mess for sure, but I bet it would taste all right.
All right, that's your next task at your next family barbecue. You're like, anybody need cheese? And you just go down the entire line of burgers while they're being grilled and just put spray cheese on all the burgers. when they do the food assignment, Blake signs up with cheese and then only brings one can of spray cheese.
Well, honestly, what sounds really good is if you take that and you just like inject it into the burger, you're getting like a stuffed cheeseburger, but it's just with spray cheese. You just see it like swell up a little bit, like a Twinkie. A hamburger does Twinkie sound sounds pretty good, right?
That sounds pretty good, strangely enough. All right. I think we've answered those enough. We're both going cheese there. Sorry, chocolate. It's got a place in both of our hearts, but if we had to take it out of the way, it'd be better for our health anyway. We are going to be right back with the worst animals to have as a pet bracket. So don't go anywhere, and we will be right back.
With warmer temperatures approaching, there is no better way to cool off than with some authentic Brazilian açaí from Barraca Açaí. I lived in Brazil for 2 years and I fell in love with açaí, but when I came back to the US, I was pretty disappointed with the quality of the options here. That is until I found Barraca Açaí, which tastes exactly like what they serve in Brazil, because that's exactly what it is. Imported from Brazil and delivered to your doorstep, it is the best treat for summer months. Whether you want it as a healthier alternative to ice cream, or covered in sweetened condensed milk like I do, açaí is a superfood that is super delicious. If you're interested, visit their Instagram, at Barraca Açaí, that's BahakaAcai, and send them a DM and let them know that PM and the AM sent you.
And we are back, coming at you with another Morning Drive debate, the segment where we take funny topics, make a bracket out of them. We're each going to have four picks, going to drop our top four options. And this week we are doing worst animals to have as pets. And that could go in a number of ways. That could go from dangerous, venomous, just annoying, and, kind of regular pets that we hate. So I'm excited to see how this draft goes, Blake. You do have the first overall pick. And how are you feeling as you head into this momentous occasion having the number one pick?
I'm feeling good. I feel, to me, there's a clear favorite here. And I know you did mention a couple different options of things that could potentially make a pet bad. And I'm choosing to ignore the dangerous one because if it's my pet, I believe that it will not attack me most of the time. There's dangerous like dogs out there that they'll attack your neighbors, but typically they listen to you. But there's one thing that I'm not willing to risk, and that is a skunk. Even if it doesn't attack me or spray me, if it sprays anything because it gets scared, you got to move. So
that's a good, very good pick. I think you can take like the scent glands out of the skunk, but I still think at that point everybody's going to be scared. Nobody's going to like it, and it's just probably not a very good pet anyway.
I did not know you could take out the scent glands. In that case, that would be a pretty sweet pet because you could walk around and pretend to spray people with it. You just picked up its tail. No, this one will have the glands for the sake of being the worst pet.
So a full-service skunk is our number one pick.
Fully functioning skunk.
That's hard to be, honestly, because it would be absolutely terrible to, you know, even live in the neighborhood if that thing did decide to have an accident. Good pick, Blake. All right, that leaves me the number two pick. Here we go. And I think this pick is going to be obvious for the folks that listened to last week's episode. And if you haven't and you want to hear my rant about people that own snakes, I would definitely go check it out because I am going to be taking... Can I take snakes, all of them, or do I have to like go more narrow?
No, I'll give you snakes in general. I don't really have many that are specific. If you want to use your next four picks to pick different kinds of snakes, I will allow it.
I'm going to have to pick the snake families and just go like venomous snakes, garden snakes. I don't even know, but all of them suck. All of them make the world a worse place. And so I don't understand why people want to have them like all caged up. All they can do is like feed them dead rats, as we talked about last week. And then pull them out and like let them slide slippery, gross all over their finger. It's disgusting. It's a terrible pet and could not let that one go down any further in this draft.
Yeah, I knew that that's what you were going to take. And so I was tempted to take it with the first pick just so like you didn't have it. But
I would have been so mad.
But, you know, truthfully, I know your hatred for snakes. I don't hate snakes. You know, I'm not a snake guy per se.
Oh, but... you are a snake guy. You have the makings of a snake guy. You probably have one of those weird sticks where they can slither all over the metal pole thing. You know exactly what I'm talking about. And I feel like you're a snake guy.
I have no idea what you're talking about. A weird stick.
You don't know what I'm talking about?
Did no.
You never have like a scales and tails exhibit come to your elementary school? They like pick it up. It's like a rattlesnake and they like pick it up on the edge of like this metal, curved metal rod thing.
A cane?
I feel like it's like basically it's like a snake cane, I guess. I feel like the listeners are going to know what I'm talking about. They have like these little sticks that they use to handle snakes that they're not even, nobody should be touching. Nobody should be keeping. But those weird people, they have to have their special instruments just to keep those things. Whoa.
My snake knowledge comes from Steve Irwin. Is that
the
crocodile?
I was going to say, I didn't even think he was associated to snakes.
He does all sorts of animals. I mean, he died from a stingray. Like, the dude was all over the map with the animals. I promise you, there's a million pictures of him holding anacondas or something. So, that's all my knowledge. And he just bare-knuckled those things. He didn't use a cane. So, anyways, I'll let you have snakes. I know there's a lot of people that don't like snakes, but I'm hoping the people that do come through and vote for me instead. With that being said, man, I have a lot of things here that I really want, and I don't know what you're going to take. All right, I'm gonna take a risk on one that I think will come back to me, and I'm going to take a porcupine.
I haven't had your first two on my list at all, I have to say. But that is a good pick because it's pretty much pointless as a pet. All you're doing is putting yourself in harm's way.
You cannot cuddle a porcupine. I mean, you could, but I'm pretty sure you'd die. I'm pretty sure their quills are like venomous or something.
Oh, serious?
Don't fact check me on that, but I'm pretty sure, like, I think you'd have to get stung quite a few times to kill you, but I'm pretty sure you're not feeling too hot. It's more than just like being poked when you get stabbed by a porcupine. And I don't know if they can shoot out those quills, but it feels like they can, so I'm feeling pretty good about a porcupine.
Yeah, I do know they're like barbed in a way that if they go in, it's gonna stick in there.
Yeah,
it's a lot harder to come out than it was to go in.
Yeah, it's a nightmare. And here's my thing too. Going back is, I really feel like if it's my pet, it won't actively try to attack me most of the time. But if I even try to like play with this thing, there's about a 95% chance I'm going to stick myself with one of these quills. So, I don't want him as a pet.
Yeah, I feel like that's a very, very good pick, Blake. You've put a lot of thought into these first two. So that leaves me with pretty much my entire list still left, but I'm still trying to decide between the things that I have left, which is the worst. And I think I am going to take, and this is another one, I don't know if I'm taking too much of the family, but I want to take monkeys, Blake, and I want to take like the specific one, like Night of the Museum, you know, that monkey that pees on everyone.
Are you taking that specific monkey?
Yeah, is it Capuchin Monkey? Is that what it's called?
It's called the Capuchin Monkey, yeah.
That's the monkey I would like to take, because I think they have been used as pets in some circumstances. Like, there's an episode of Malcolm in the Middle where Craig, he gets one of those, and it's, like, evil and tries to kill him. And then Night of the Museum pees on everything. Those monkeys are terrible pets. And I've seen enough movies, enough TV, to know that it's not a good idea. So that's why I will be taking that. Next.
Yeah, fair. The problem with that is that I always wanted a monkey growing up, and specifically
you're one of those weirdos.
Specifically, the Capuchin Monkey always seemed like a really cool option. So, I mean, this was like me. This was me as a kid. This wasn't me like last week looking at the pricing of monkeys. But
Blake wanted to pair it with his boa constrictor.
Oh yeah, I mean, you know, you put the two of them together, the best of pals.
Jeez.
No, the Capuchin Monkey though, it's small enough that it can sit on my shoulder. And you know, I feel like as long as it doesn't, I have to put a diaper on it, obviously. But you could sit on my shoulder, you can just hang out and watch a movie. That seems like a good pet.
No, I'm pretty sure at zoos, those monkeys like band together and fling poo at the people that are looking at them too. They're evil. Well,
yeah, but it will be my pet. And so I will have it fling poo at my enemies.
Okay. I see how you're turning this around until that thing goes dark mode and tries to kill you. So
yeah.
That's why I'm taking the Capuchin Monkey at 4.
All right, fair. When you first started talking there, I was worried you were going to take mine, and then luckily you didn't, because mine is a little out of the box, I think.
Okay.
In fact, you would need quite a big box, because I will take the blue whale.
What are you, SeaWorld?
That you would have to have a really big pool to do this. That's the one upside, is that if you have a blue whale as a pet, you're probably doing pretty well in life, because you need a really big pool. The problem is that they have... the world's biggest poops. I looked it up, and I don't want to have to clean up the world's biggest poops from my lawn. You know, if it somehow
from your lawn
makes it onto. I don't know how if it ejects out of the blowhole or something, it's ending up everywhere. I don't know how they got to the bathroom. So
no, to own this pet, you're gonna have to own a large portion of Oceanside property. With like a giant net that goes out like hundreds of yards into the ocean. So, I mean, it's going to be kind of pointless too, because the only way you're going to be able to see this guy is if he decides to come up for air and catch a glimpse.
They're really boring pets. They don't do anything besides sit there and go, which I think classifies it as being one of the worst pets. So, and also, you know, if you do, maybe it's just in your backyard because you don't have enough money for a beachside property, and then you just have a dead pet. So that's a bummer.
Yeah, nothing like a dead blue whale taking up your entire property.
Yeah.
All right, good pick there. Didn't see it going that direction, I do have to say. So with the number 6 overall pick, that leaves me with one that I was wanting to take and was a little nervous that you might select here. And it's kind of a controversial animal over the last couple of years. And I am going to take a bat as a terrible pet, because from my understanding of bats is all they do is cause diseases, all they are is disgusting, and probably nocturnal, just going to be waking you up all night long.
Yeah, I mean, they're called rats with wings for a reason. This is actually the first one that we've had a little bit of overlap on.
Okay.
I did have bats on my list because I have lived in a house that had bats, and
they are
loud. I mean, it was in our ceilings, and so we didn't really know, but at night we'd hear these weird like sounds, and we didn't know what was going on, and it was just the bats flying around. They couldn't get out because they were stuck in our ceiling, and then we took out the...
They were stuck in your ceiling?
Yeah, and then we tried to like get up into the, you know, the attic, basically, and a whole bunch of bat poop fell out. It was a bad experience. So, yeah, bats
could have got sick.
Yeah, bats would probably not make a good pet. Now, granted, they'd probably make a better pet than them being stuck in your ceiling. I think that it might make it a little bit better when you don't have poop falling from the sky. Yeah, no, they wouldn't be great. The rats with wings are a no-go in my household. So, good pick. I am sad, although I don't think I would have taken it, only because I still have another one that I really want. And
this is your last pick, isn't it?
Yes. And that's really hard for me because, and I know you still have your last pick, but I really wanted to pick cat.
I was thinking the same thing.
I just think cats are dumb. I'm not taking it though, because the very first thing I thought of was the howler monkey, which is the correct monkey to pick for an awful pet, because it's a monkey You get all the downsides, but it's also a howler monkey. They scream all the time, super loud.
So it's just a... What kind of scream are we talking about?
Okay, well, imagine this. You're laying in bed at night, and then all of a sudden, you hear your pet go... I'm so sorry for blowing out your ears.
That may have been my favorite moment that has ever happened on this podcast.
I missed that one, Blake. Is there any way I can get another? Because I really want to know. I was thinking about adopting a howler monkey from my local PetSmart. I want to have one more go at it to understand if I should get this pet.
Well, the problem is you can't expect it to happen. It just has to happen when you're not expecting it, because nobody knows when the howler monkey will strike and blow out your eardrums all over again. We heard it, though, and it was really unfortunate and unpleasant. I mean, everybody that just got their eardrums blown out is thinking, wow, a howler monkey would make a really bad pet right now.
I think that one should win. Hopefully people actually listen to the episode before voting.
I don't know if I get.
Yeah, I don't remember what sound effect you were telling me I was talented for last week, but I am not nearly as talented as you are at doing the howler monkey, which the facial expression, too, just... brought it all together. That was beautiful.
The problem is I have to lean away from my microphone a little bit so that it's not just blood curdling ear death loud. That was a weird sentence.
You could have killed me had you gone full howler monkey, which is why I will be not adopting a howler monkey and looking for a different, more suitable pet for me.
Good choice.
All right, moving on to the last pick of the draft, and it's going to be hard to follow that one up. And, you know, as I look over my list, I can only think of one that people used to get as pets back in the day and has led to some rumors of sewer alligators, you know what I mean, where people would get baby alligators as pets, flush them down the toilet once they got too big, and then they would just be living in the sewers. And so that's why I'll be taking the alligator as a terrible pet. All it's going to do is cause you harm, and they suck. Another member of the reptile family.
I got a question about what you just said about them flushing them down the toilet. Uh-huh. A, how small are baby alligators? Because
they're pretty small, I think.
To flush it down the toilet, they have to be the size of like a salamander.
I think that's about the size. I don't know, maybe they didn't flush them down the toilet, but I have heard stories of them getting in the sewer. Haven't you seen like things about that?
Yeah, I kind of just assumed they swam in from the tunnels where they dump all of the sewer into our water supply. They just swam up in there.
No chance.
Unless you're flushing down a two-week-old alligator, beyond that, you're not getting it down the toilet. No shot.
Which is what happens as soon as you realize.
You have a better chance of putting it in the disposal in the sink, which is gruesome, admittedly, but I don't think you're getting it down the toilet.
It depends on what kind of toilet you're running. You know, if you've got a nice industrial John, you're going to be able to flush down whatever you want.
They got that $10,000 hydraulic flusher. It's like on an airplane. Have you ever gone to the bathroom on an airplane where the hole? I went one time, and it was out of pure curiosity because I wanted to know what it was like. And it was interesting because you go to the bathroom, and basically there's a toilet that just has like a little hole on there. And then when you flush it, like opens up. And from the vacuum suction of, I don't even know, I'm assuming these just go flying out into the atmosphere with how much force. 500-mile-an-hour turd is coming out because they open these things up, and it goes, shoo! And just, they're gone. There is no, like, it doesn't even take any water. There's no water that flushes these things. It is pure air pressure.
You're telling me if you drop a turd in there, the air pressure washes it away, not water?
I mean, there's probably water too, but I was just astonished by the air pressure coming out of these things. I mean, it was a pressure washer toilet. And so if you had one of those, you could probably get an alligator down there.
That's what I was going to say. If you do end up making the mistake of adopting an alligator, it sounds like a great plan would be to take it on board aircraft and get rid of it there.
Going through
this security. Is an alligator flying through the sky, lands on somebody.
You're going through security. You're like, don't worry. This is just my pet alligator. I'm going to flush him out 10,000 feet up.
The emotional support alligator. I mean, I think we wrapped it up pretty good there. I think we have a pretty good draft. Did you have any honorable mentions? Any pets you were thinking of taking besides cats?
Yeah, so I obviously had cats as well. And I had elephants and bison purely based off of the size of the turds. Because for a land animal, they do go the most often. I'm pretty sure I looked up one thing that an elephant can poop up to like 100 pounds of crap a day, which sounds
that's awful,
like an awful time when you're trying to clean up your lawn when you got landmines everywhere. So that would be a bummer. Bison for the same reason. A coyote, because I'm pretty sure they're loud. I don't know, actually. And then a silverback gorilla, just based off of, again, the size of the turds, which I imagine are large. And then also, you know, I'm just imagining it's kind of almost like having a person, but they're just really big, hairy, and dumb. So it's like just having a worse person, basically.
All right. Well, those are good picks. I had a giraffe on my list, as well as pigs. I think people that...
Tall ceilings. Them,
yeah. Or like a super big fence, because that thing's just going to walk right over your fence every time. Might even crush it.
They don't have long legs, do they?
They're like 40 feet tall, aren't they? Well, like,
yeah,
even before they get to the neck?
It's 38 feet a neck.
No, their legs are easily like 10 to 15 feet high, I would guess.
I mean, okay, I know they're taller than your average legs, but I don't think they're that long, right? I'm looking this up.
It has to be. I would have guessed 10 feet tall is like where the body starts.
I know they can kill...
Don't they have powerful kicks too?
Yeah, they can kill lions. About 6 feet long. Okay, so they got pretty tall legs. Not nearly 20 feet like you were saying, but...
I don't know what giraffes the local zoo that I've seen has, because those guys were easily 30 feet tall.
Well, the giraffes are tall. I'm talking just their legs are 6 feet.
You can do like a somersault over the fence. It doesn't have to be walking straight over conveniently. I mean, he could kick the fence down. We just established that he has powerful kicks.
If a giraffe does a somersault, I'm pretty sure they break their neck. I don't think they can curl up that tight. I think they're flipping over that thing, and it's not going to look pretty on the other end of that flip.
Well, other than that, I had a bear, because I think people have gotten like eaten by bears that they're trying to train for movies. And yeah, that pretty much rounds out my entire list.
Yeah, I mean, any of these really, besides the capuchin monkey, I think those would be great. Any of the other ones would be pretty bad pets. So it'll be interesting to see what the people think. My vote is still for howler monkey, but I think any of these could be a pretty awful pet.
That was definitely a memorable moment and one of the best sound effects I have ever heard. So we thank you for that, Blake. We thank you for a great show this week. Thanks to everybody for tuning in. We really appreciate it. Blake, do you have anything for the listeners on the way out today?
I almost screamed again, but I'll save your ears. So no.
All right. Well, thanks for listening to this week's show. We appreciate the support, and we will catch you guys on the next episode.
Peace out.
Congrats on making it all the way to the end. We hope you enjoyed the show. You are now officially part of the PM and the AM fan base, the Morning People, and we are super pumped to have you here. Now that you're a part of the crew, please share the episode with a friend, and make sure to check out the rest of our shows and social media content for more hilarious brackets, crazy questions, and an overall great time. Thanks for listening. It truly means a lot to us, and we'll catch you guys next week.